God is good. No. You know, little children, they want to be disciplined. You know, they're not going to tell you that, but they want to be because they know they're too wild. They're too powerful. Little kids, just 1 and 2 years old, they know already. They're very, you know, self-oriented. So somebody has to spank them and stop them, and the father that loves his son will discipline him. And, you know, anybody can just let him go. Anybody can just, you know, leave it alone or walk out of the house or get drunk or something. But the hard thing is stay right there and spank them because you love them. And you tell them that. This is because I love you. They don't grasp that right off. They don't understand that till later. But by the time they're 12, you were 12 one time. By the time they're 12, they've already picked up that, I'm not probably the kid I was supposed to be. You know, did you learn that at 12?
A little bit, yeah.
I think your sister learned it even before that. That's good. But young people like to be disciplined. Oh, adults like to be disciplined.
Amen.
The only problem with adults being disciplined is there's no one to do it. That's the problem. So you got to learn when you're little. Only life can discipline you after that. Because God's not going to come and knock you down or whatever else. He loves you. But, you know, all I can do is words. But each man has to be his own God under God. You have to let God be your God so that you can be God like he is God over your friends, neighbors, and family, employees, and so on and so forth. So this is a great day, and God is not going to have a new idea like no families or whatever. It's always going to be there. So people are attacking the family, but it won't work. And you're never going to have all that other baloney and nonsense. And I know we're all sympathetic to all those things, but the truth is, God's stubborn. He wants it done the way he wants it done, and he has reasons for it. And I'm sorry if you can justify what you've done, but it won't work with God. He wants it done the way he wants it done. So he's always going to have churches, he's always going to have families, always going to have individuals, and always going to have a civil government until he comes back. That's just the way it is. It's permanent. It's fixed. And he likes it when people challenge him and say, I'll bet I could ruin your families. He likes that. He kind of like, okay, go. Has anyone ever felt that attack on your family? Yeah. I mean, he likes that. Yeah, see if you can shake them. Remember Job? He just turned him over to the devil. The devil just said, yeah, you protect him. No wonder the guy likes you. You know, you bless him all the time. Let me have him. Let me get him. He said, okay, I'll let you have him, except don't take his life. That's all. Just you know, that part I won't give you. That's mine, because he's not your creature, he's mine. But I'll let you play with him, and you know what you're going to find out? He'll praise me. And the devil was certain. He was certain he could get him. How many know that people are weak? People are weak. And so if you could hit the head guy, if you could get, you know, because he also was a judge. He was also a political ruler. He was a, you know, sat in the gates and so on. And he was a wealthy man. He was the wealthiest man on earth. So he had everything. He was a political leader, a financial leader, you know, probably a technology developer. He was everything. And he was a pastor, and, you know, he was everything you could be. But still, the mighty can be tempted and tested. Thank God none of you could be tested and you'd fail. You'll come out powerful. Why? Because of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember, he said, I know that my Redeemer, you know, even if you slay me, I'm not going to stop trusting in God. Now, see, even if you send me to college, I'm still not going to give up God, no matter what. Isn't that great? Don't you love it that God lets his people just be strewn about and let them, the devil just, you know, has access to them. And God's going, that's okay. It's okay. I if you ever, you know, mess up something that's, you know, can't be changed, I'll get in there. So God actually has given a guarantee to your life so that you'll be successful in everything that you do. Now, how many believe that? If we were to make this the final chair, remember there are seven chairs, but this is your final chair. This is where you sit on the throne forever and ever. This is your final chair. And so you need to start sitting there today. Get used to it. You know, just get up there, get your little stick out, and start ruling. Practice. It works. It works in this world, too. So you don't have to see it to believe it. You just have to believe it and then act on it. I'm a ruler. I'm an awesome person. I've been made in the image, and the inscription of God is upon me. God has written everything on my heart. Not only that, but I have Jesus too. That's powerful. You not only have the natural law, you also have the redemptive gospel law. And now that's written on your heart. Remember the Holy Ghost when He has come? Jeremiah 31, 31. He actually will write the law upon your heart. Not just the law of Moses, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets you free. Amen? Is everybody here free? Now, if you're a husband, it's your responsibility to make sure your wife is perfect, that she's holy, and you don't get to use force. You can only use love. So you have to be a good example. Now, if she fails, you'll get blamed. How many men like that idea? If my wife messes up, put it on me. Because you're confident that Jesus, who loves you, will strengthen you and cause you to be the husband you need to be. So when a wife messes up, it could be deliberate to wake you up. Or it might not be. It doesn't matter. But when there's something wrong in the family, it's always the head that's at issue. So if y'all don't make it, I'm the problem. Okay? So maybe I didn't fast enough, I didn't pray enough, I didn't preach enough, I didn't teach correctly. It doesn't matter. It's not your fault, it's mine. So if you get before heaven, all you have to say is, Pastor Jim, we're one of his, and you can see by the rest of us, we don't look all that great. It's his fault. And God will accept that because He anointed and appointed, and therefore He has to kill the one that He anoints and appoints so that they don't do their own thing, but they speak His words and do His deeds. Isn't that great? So you get off scot-free. All you got says, you know, God, I would like to answer in my own behalf, but the guy you appointed, it's not really my fault. The guy you appointed, he was a failure. And I believe that. I accept that. So none of you will be able to go to hell unless I precede you. So I hope I don't take any of you there. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going. I'm not going to go. I'm going straight to heaven. I'm in heaven. I'm already in heaven. And I don't have any fears about where I'm going to end up. I know this is my chair. I know this is my chair. I get to sit down here right next to Jesus. I'm at the right hand. Jesus is sitting right here. The Father's right on the other side of Jesus. Father never looks at me without looking through Jesus. He goes, how's your girl doing? How's your wife? Doing good. You see? And I'm going to give, when He says, how do you plead? Innocent. Perfect. Perfect. He says, how do you say that? Well, I dumped it all on Jesus. And He already finished it, so I'm okay. And that was your idea, so thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Father. So I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Is anyone else in heaven?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not going. I'm there. It may not look like it, but I'm, you know, you only see the construction site, but God sees the finished product. Got a little sign out in front of the building that says, it will look like this eventually. Today you see a hole in the ground with all of the construction garbage and nonsense and stuff around. The workmen's lunch buckets and stuff. But when it's done, Jim will be perfect, just like Jesus. How many of you have that confidence that not only are you going to be like that in the next world, but you could even actually see some growth right here?
Amen?
Amen? Is that possible, Will?
Yes.
How is that possible? Are you helping God? Does He want your help? No, He can't take any of your help. He wants you to be helpless. So if you've been a helpless, worthless servant, that's very good. Because Jesus did it all, and all He ever wanted you to do, and this will change your life, is praise Him. Thank Him. Stop looking at your circumstances, listening to people around you. Just hear one thing. Hear what God has done. It is finished. Remember the Father? He's sitting in this chair over here. The Father said it's finished on the sixth day, so He is done. Then He had nothing more to do. So then the Son, and He said on the cross, it's finished. So He's done. So now the only one left is the Holy Spirit to get you here. But how many know that what Jesus finished, the Holy Spirit is working out because He's the finisher of that which was begun by God and kept going by the Redeemer, and now it's being perfected by the Holy Spirit. So you don't need to see it. Just trust Him. If the first guy did pretty good, God the Father, then the second guy did pretty good, God the Son, then the third guy might do pretty good because they guarantee Him. That's their spirit. So the same one that did the first is the same one that did the second is the same one that's doing the third. So God has given you every reason to believe that right now, today, you are perfect in Him. So whenever people say, how are you? I always say perfect. And they always hate that. They don't like that. Because they have to do kind of a theological thing. Like, well, how can you say perfect? None of us is perfect. And they always want to explain it. But I don't want to explain it. So I just say perfect. And then when they challenge me, then I say, well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come.
Hallelujah.
So those three statements are so strong. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, is, that's present, active, indicative, is. But then it says the old has passed away. That is a perfect past. In other words, and it could never come back again.
Hallelujah.
And then it says, and the new has come. That's a perfect, perfect. It's not future. It's a perfect. So if the new has come and the old has passed away, then is, is. Unlike Clinton, he didn't know what is. But we know what is. And so, I is a new creation. Amen? Is that good grammar? No. But it's good theology. I like to use the very exact words that Jesus uses. If He says something, we should say the something. Because it will actually challenge your brains. It'll challenge your emotions. It will challenge everything inside of you. Because what's inside of you is wrong. You have to get upside down. If everybody would just stand on your head, then you would understand what God wants to do is turn you upside down. Because your own natural capacity and ability to worship God is zilch. But if you'll just turn upside down, then God will work it all. Because your righteousness is in heaven. And I'm just thanking Him because there's nothing more to do. You can just lay down on the ground. It's perfect. Enter into rest. Have you all entered into the rest of the kingdom of God? Not someday. But do it today. Do it right now. That's a good father. A good father would lead his family that everything is going my way. Everything. Woohoo! It's finished. It's complete. We are complete in Him. Amen? Does it say we are complete in Him or we are being completed? It says we are complete. Now, that's pretty clear to me. So therefore, speak as those that are not hoping in something future. What's future is you'll see what you are, but you won't be more than you are. You already are what you are. You are not becoming what you are. People are seeing you thinking you're becoming what you are, but you already are what you are in the sight of God. And that's the only thing that matters. That's your strength, your firmness, your foundation. So, is everybody happy today? I mean, radiant?
Amen.
Want to get up on your chair and shout? Okay, who wants to be the first to get up on your chair and shout? I wish Huger were here. I got it. Amen. Yahoo! It's good. I like that. Oh, it's good. Any more idiots? Are there any more idiots? You don't want Tom to do it?
No, Tom can do it, but my mom can't do it.
Oh.
I asked Brian if he'd help me do it.
All right, at the beginning of this year, I told you that God had spoken to me the day after Christmas of last year. And I want to read now that scripture again. that I meditated on all the time. And I just want to read Isaiah 54. So let's turn to that. Sing, O barren. A woman that is barren is a woman that has no children. A woman who has had no fruit. She hasn't yielded anything. So a woman that has no children is barren. And there are some women that don't want to have children. But most women do, because that's part of what it's all about, is to have children and so on. And you don't go to heaven because of it. But it's a natural thing and keeps the world going and so on. And so God wants it. And God actually in the beginning said, be fruitful and, you know, fill the earth and so on. So that's a good thing. In other words, I want inhabitants and I want it to go on and on and on till I'm done. And he has a certain time frame and it's now up. That time frame is coming to an end. I think there's only about 1,000 years left. So we're getting near the end. But the 1,000 years is not like the 6,000 that we've had up until now. We're already in the 7th. We're already in the 7,000th year. So he could come back at any time on this third day. Third day starting from Jesus. Jesus was the first day, had 1,000 years after him, and another 1,000. And then we'll be in the third, and we're there. We're already there. So this is the day of rest. This is the day to enter into the rest. And if people haven't done it, and they really haven't for 2,000 years, they really haven't entered into the finished, completed work of God. And therefore, the churches are still psychological. I'm so amazed that so many people regard everything from a human point of view. You know, it's all psychology and, you know, human understanding and feelings. Everybody's into their feelings. I don't care about feelings. Feelings are nothing. You just conquer feelings. I'm afraid. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm jealous. I'm envious. That's all nothing. I don't believe in any of those words. Those words have no reality in the kingdom of God. Now, words like this, I'm joyful. I'm kind. I'm loving. Now, I like those words because those are not psychological words first. They're theological words describing who you really are. So therefore, since you already are a new creation, then it doesn't hurt. It will not. You won't go to hell if you do this, and you won't go to heaven if you do it. But it's just who you are. And if you believe it, you should talk that way. You should say, I love Peggy perfectly. I'm the perfect lover. Now, you want to psychologize it. Well, why'd you yell at her the other day? Psychology. I just disregard that. Of course, she doesn't, but I do. I just disregard that. I don't regard that. Now, you guys don't argue, do you?
Never.
No. Praise God.
It takes two to argue.
I love that. Right. And so you just end it right there, no matter what. She might start it, but you won't end it. That's good.
The burden and the blessings.
Can you take it?
Absolutely.
You love it?
Absolutely.
Woohoo! That makes a good marriage. Because never take your wife seriously. Never take your wife seriously.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
You want to. Because whatever she says, if it's from God, you take God seriously. And if it's not from God, you don't take it seriously. So whatever she says from God, of course you take it seriously. Because what you do is you take what she just said, not seriously, and you take it to Jesus to find out if it's serious or not. And then you took God seriously because he will say yay or nay. So you don't get to make any decisions. That's the neat thing about growing up, is you get to make all your decisions and then God takes them all away and says, I don't want you to make any. It's like, I spent my whole life trying to get out from under my parents so I can make my own decisions. And then God comes along and says, okay, hand me over your life. Oh, no. Could I get a stereo first? You know, could I, you know, do a few things? Could I sow my oats before I, you know, go to church and settle down? And most people allow themselves that privilege because they don't know who they are. They don't know that really that's not who you are. That's what society says you are. Satan says you are, and your flesh says you are. But you are what God says you are. And God says you're a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Amen? Now, sing, O barren. So when things don't go right in life and you appear to be barren. In other words, you've sown and you've sown and you've sown and you've sown and you don't see a lot of fruit from it. You look at your life and you wonder, really, what have I accomplished? What have I done that will be everlasting? What will I done that amounts to something? And so here's what God says. Sing, O barren. Sing. I want you to sing. And if you're barren, you don't want to. A person that's barren is sullen. They're alone. They're isolated. I'm telling you, if you don't have children or you're not married, you just feel freakish. You just feel like, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Well, you're wrong. This one says sing. Sing, O barren. I'm glad he said that. Not just sing because you have children. I mean, it's good to have children. But it's even better to be in this situation here where you're barren. I'll tell you why. Here's the secret. Thou that didst not bear, you didn't have any fruit, your land was laid fallow, you didn't have any corn come up, you didn't have any bananas grow, you had nothing in your life, no children, no nothing. It looked like your life didn't amount to a hill of beans. Sing. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. That's tremendous. I mean, to cry aloud, actually that word in the Hebrew does not just mean, you know, cry out in agony. It actually means cry out in praise. It means to cry out loud, Hallelujah! And you're so excited. You know, you are really excited. Now, I don't know if you do that every day, but it would help. You won't get cancer. Now, if you bottle it all in, because there's a lot of praise inside you and you need to let it out. Instead of the griping and the grumbling, put out the praise. Things couldn't be better. All things are going my way. Zippity-doo-dah. If you can't do that, you don't have a God. But if you can do that in any situation, no matter what comes up, no matter how it appears, good or bad, it's always good. No matter how it appears, good or bad, it's always good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So it's always good. Even the bad you laugh at. Because you go, that appears to be bad. But actually, it's a secret. It's covered in this ugly wrapping, but it actually is a beautiful treasure on the inside. Jesus, he had no comeliness that we should worship him or regard him. He was so beaten that his face was unrecognizable. And his body was just torn to shreds. They ripped him, the 39 lashes ripped him so much that they tore his skin completely off, and he didn't look handsome anymore. He didn't look good. He was just bloody and awful. Have you ever seen anybody that's been beaten or been through an accident or something? It looked terrible. It just had no comeliness. And then he says, okay, time to sing. When you're like that and everything's going against you, that's when you praise God. It doesn't mean anything if you praise him when all things are going well. If everything's going well, anybody can praise him. What proves that you're a Christian from out of this world, not of this world, is that you can praise him when all things go poorly and you say, based on the word, totally based on faith, all things are working together for my good. It's the best day of my life. Amen? Now, I ran for election 2 times after I had 8 years of serving, and then I lost. And every time I lost, I rejoiced. Well, hallelujah. Yeah, good. I don't have to mess with that now because my enemies conquered me. So I went up to each of my enemies, and I did this both times, went up to and say, praise God. It's good. It's good to be free. I'm a free man. Everything's going my way. And I just want you to know I'm not angry or mad or hurt or anything. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. And my enemies just looked at me like, you're crazy. You know, because they knew they would have been mad. If I had lied like they lied and cheated, did all the stuff they did, they felt guilty. And I knew they did. I knew that they did. But I went up because I genuinely felt it was God's will that I not do that anymore. Why? Because I couldn't do it anymore. So I genuinely felt that all things work together, even the bad stuff apparently. Well, you know why I won this time? Because everybody that did me in last time decided to vote for me because they felt guilty. They did. I didn't have one group that liked me. For example, the Tea Party didn't know me from a cake of soap, but they all voted for me. Then the Ron Paulers hated me because I betrayed them. I won't explain how, but I didn't really, but they thought I did. And I didn't defend myself or explain it. And then, so they shouldn't have voted for me. And the religious right, or the Christian right, my group, hated my guts because I wouldn't follow the leader and do what they wanted, so on and so forth. I was too independent. So, and the TFRW ladies club type country club lady things, they didn't like me because I never came to their meetings. So none of them liked me. And there's 6-8 groups. And I had no base at all. But when I called them on the phone, they all said, yeah, I'll vote for you. Yeah, I'll vote for you. And they said, is anyone running against you? I think so. There's at least two that have said so. One I know has sent out a thing and so on. So, yeah, I think so. Okay, well, you got my vote. That was funny. And so I never got a no. Of all the people, I never got a no out of all of them. So I already knew I had, you know, more than enough to win. I had too many. And I never doubted it because of this scripture. I knew that I was going to win. I didn't know how God was going to do it because I had no base. I had nobody that liked me except my own church members, which I forced to go. I mean, I paid them. I'll pay your way. And, you know, if you need a room, you know, whatever. Because you have to go. And only if you're dead do you get off, you know. So, no, I didn't force them. But so that's all I had was a few people. And yet I won overwhelmingly. I believe that there's a changing of the guard in the world in 2010 because of what God spoke to me. I'm telling you this because it's human, but I don't think so. I saw it as divine, and I had no confidence when I was up there, not because of winning. I had no confidence that I understood why God was electing me when I shouldn't have been. Also, I'm old. I don't look old, but I am. And you know that, Grant. You know that. You know that. So, and I mean, I look forward to the day when my teeth begin falling out and all that stuff. But you know what? God has a sense of humor, and I still feel young and youthful and so on and so forth. And people are always amazed. So, you know, to me, you know why I was trembling was because of the awe of being in that position to serve those people in the name of the Lord. And so people came up and said, you were shaken a little bit. And they thought, I know what they thought because they said so. They thought because I was worried about the other guy. And they said to me, oh, you had nothing to worry about. Well, that was their view. But I wasn't worried about that. I knew I was going to get it, but the whole thing is, what will I do? Will I do what Jesus wants, or will I do my own thing? And that's all I was trembling about, is, wow, this is a heavy responsibility, because this is not just getting in an office. This is to serve the living God to the death. And as I'm a pastor, so when you go into politics, you're not a pastor. When you go into politics, you're a political servant. You don't have a will of your own and a life of your own. It's very similar to the pastor. So pastors make great politicians. Why? Because Jesus was a shepherd before he was a Lord. He was a savior before he was a Lord. He was a shepherd before he was a king. And King David was a shepherd. That's a pastor. A shepherd is just a pastor. He was a shepherd because he was a Lord. And then he became a king or a Lord. And if you learn how to love the sheep and nourish them and cherish them and are a good shepherd, you make a good king because you don't take care of yourself. You don't worry about yourself because God has appointed you to that thankless job and you love it. You love it. You don't want anything. I don't want anyone to give me anything. I don't want anyone to help me. I don't want anyone to thank me. I don't want anyone to praise me. I don't want that. And I'm not afraid of people doing the opposite. Let them do whatever they want to do. I love you just the way you are. And if you're mean as a snake, I love you. I love mean snake people. And, you know, I really do. It not only doesn't bother me, I feel at home with you. Before you bite me, I may well bite you back. But it doesn't matter. But I like people that are nasty. I like hypocrites. And there are a few in this church. There are a few. You all know who they are, don't you? You know, I like hypocrites. I like people that are vengeful. I love that. It's delicious to me. But as a Christian, I'm not allowed to pay back in kind. I have to do whatever Jesus says. I never know what he's going to say. But whatever it is, it's going to build you up and edify you. It won't be for your harm, no matter how you construe it. So whether it's the right hand spiritual or the left hand political, I build everything on this scripture. And I totally believe God is so smart that he wrote everything in the book ahead of time, and this script is being fulfilled. And I never would have read this and thought it applied to me, but I do now. Single barren, and I told you that for 30 years I was a pastor and I sowed, and I didn't do what makes you build a big church. I didn't do anything. People told me, Pastor, you're going about it all in the wrong way. If you just work with the women, you'll have a bigger church. Okay. Well, I'm not going to do that. I will work with them, but my main focus is going to be on men. Well, that didn't work for 30 years. I mean, we would call out the men and they would come. They would come one time. They'd come one time. We'd have 80 men. Okay, men, from now on, we're going to build a church on you and we're going to be discipling you. And I want you to, you know, come get rid of all your sins and so on. And we're gonna really go for it. All the men. Yes. But men are short-lived. And so by the second meeting, there were 14. And by the end of it, there were 3 men, which I thought was a great, you know, that's good. That's a good about 2% of everybody that came. And I thought that was very good. You know, when you're digging for gold, you have to dig off all that overload and get down to the few ounces that are precious. So it was always a blessing, but it never turned out exactly the way I thought of abundance. It just didn't seem like it was abundant. And so for 30 years, I've sown, and I know that people have been blessed personally. I think there's 2 or 3 in this room that have been blessed personally. And without, you know, my being one of Jesus' guys, you might not be as rich and so on and so forth. So thank God. But it never broke out into a big, you know, public thing where the world paid attention and said, wow, what's happening there? You know, you apparently didn't tell anybody. They didn't know what a miracle it was, what happened to your family, because you'd never shared how powerful it was. So I didn't get anything. So it was like, sing. Don't complain about it. And I never have. That's God's truth. I instead rejoiced. God, I don't really care that there's no grain in the bin. I don't care that there's no calf in the stall. I don't care that there's no fig on the tree. I really don't care, because I know that my Redeemer liveth. And if it were just for me, it's enough. It's just, if I'm the only one that, and I love my sermons. I mean, I'm sitting here every week thinking, hey, man, hallelujah. That's good, Pastor. Keep it going. I get a lot out of them, Grant. I don't know if you get anything out of them, but I love them. I go home and listen to them again. They're great. So, but he's saying something so weird that I know it's true. Sing, O barren, you that have borne nothing, you that are desolate. Now, to be desolate is very similar to barren, a very similar word. But it means wasted. In other words, you wasted your life. You did not achieve what you were hoping you were going to achieve. You didn't bear the fruit. You were on the earth, but you hardly accomplished anything. And you look at yourself and you think, wow, I have not yet made my mark. Amen? Amen? I mean, a lot of you failed already in your health. A lot of you have failed in your relationships. A lot of you have failed in finances. And you didn't make it. You didn't make your mark. And when you did make it, you then couldn't keep it. Or, you know, it had a bad effect and so on and so forth. Well, here's what God says. No, sing. When you fail, that was exactly what I wanted. I wanted you to fail. Now, I want you all to say, I'm so glad that I failed. Because the failure is the key to the success. Because if you didn't fail, you wouldn't need Jesus. And because you failed, you went, Jesus, help me out here. Because I'm doing all this labor and it's not amounting to a hill of beans. Could you please show me what to do? And here's what he says. Nothing. Don't do anything. I've done it all. I know, but what can I do now? I mean, but it isn't producing anything. Is that because you're still laboring? I'm not. I'm it's not even working. Yeah, but you still care. You're still wanting it. You're still looking. You're still laboring inside if you're not laboring outside. Yeah. Because every little kid thinks, if I labor and work real hard, I'll get a reward. I'll get, you know, people will like me. People will, you know, admire me because I was popular, or I was a good athlete, or I was a good pianist, or whatever you are. No. You don't have to do anything to be loved, to be liked. Jesus just loves you, likes you. Ugly as you are, he likes you. Weak as you are, ignorant as you are, he likes you just the way you are. So it's fun to be ugly and ignorant for Jesus. How many are ugly for Jesus? Let's say it's great. And ignorant, weak, impotent. You know, it's great not to be able to do anything or have any brains. Or it's great because Jesus then has something to do, which is what he did. And therefore he tells you, okay, I did that already. Just take all my treasure. It's all for you. Just go and take as much as you need. So sing, O barren, and you that are desolate, who never produced anything, that's the best thing in the world. Let's say you had a failed relationship in the past. Don't raise your hand. But did anybody here have one of those where it didn't work out between you and mom, or you and dad, or you and your brothers and sisters, or you know, you and your wife, or you and your girlfriend, or you and your anything, whatever it is? It's good. That's very good. God wanted that so you'd come to the end of yourself and say, God, you know what? I may not be God. You know, it's just really dawning on me. Maybe I'm not God, and maybe I don't know how to start and finish anything. So, what do you say? Well, first of all, I'll say this. I love you, and I forgive you for all that. So don't worry about it. I'm not going to count it. You can still come to heaven. Cool. And he goes, no, it's even better than that. Now I'm going to help you, and I'm actually going to turn you into a great display, I mean, visible to the world. And all you have to do is not help me. All you have to do is just let me do it all. And then we go, okay, cool. And then the next thing you know, it doesn't work. Even though he promised it would work, your vision has to die. And if you actually believe him, you will then fail some more. But if you don't believe him, then you'll secretly go and help him out and say it was Jesus. But he actually likes to do it. So every vision dies. If you have a vision, if God tells you something. Now, the reason why it's not going to die this year, I'm going to tell you why. It's not because I'm used to visions dying all the time. I love that. God gives you a vision. You're going to go and do thus and so. And then you go and it works against you. And I've learned, oh, well, praise the Lord. That's good. There we go again. I'm not afraid. But there comes a day when he says to you, which he did, no, this year, Jim, you're actually been barren for 30 years. You've sown and seen very little, but, you know, it's fine. You did more than you knew, but, you know, just forget it. Don't look at that. But I'm going to now bring you forth in a powerful way. Your church in Dallas, your church in Fort Worth, is going to flourish beyond measure. And I laughed at him because that is ridiculous. We don't do anything. We don't advertise. We don't even know where we are. You don't even know what room we're going to be in, and so on. So I said, well, okay, cool. I mean, like, what are you thinking? It's like, what would that mean? More money, more peoples, the message goes out better? What? You know, I don't know what you're even talking about. So he said, listen carefully. For the one that did not travail with child, didn't have any agony or pain with child, you know, no pain, no gain, that kind of thing. Well, they didn't have any pain, so they didn't get any gain. For more are the children of the desolate. More. So don't worry about T.D. Jakes, or don't worry about, you know, the big Preston Wood or whatever. Don't worry about those people. Just you do what I tell you to do, and you're going to have more. That's ridiculous. Don't even say such silly things, because I'm not going to believe you. They said, that's your flesh speaking. Well, yeah, but still, it's too ridiculous. Could you just say you'll do a little better than you did last year or something like that? Or I'll keep you alive and you won't go belly up. That would make some sense. But no, he said, no. I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. I want you to stretch forth your curtains. I mean, just stretch them way out because you're going to have so many kids to fit in. So just really expand. And then I want you to spare not. Don't spare. Just go for it. I said, well, God, you know it's a bad economy. You do understand that. Some people are out of jobs. And I don't think this is the time to expand. How about if we just push some dead wood out and, you know, have pure people or something? No, I don't want you to believe what you believe. I want you to believe what I say. Okay. Then he went on and said, lengthen your cords. That means even go beyond where you are. So you're not just local. You're going to be national. You're going to be international. Lengthen your cords. So that was why I went to Uganda. I wasn't going to go because we didn't have the money. And there were a whole bunch of people that said I'm going to go, but they didn't go. But then a few people did. Lynn, you went. It was great. It was awesome. And we saw the international stretching of the cords. And it was like, wow. It was unbelievable. There were healings. There were you know, salvations. There were people repenting. There was all kinds of, you know, demonic and blah, 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 all that stuff. And the word went out, and the people received the word. They didn't just receive the miracles and the signs and the wonders that confirm, but they actually received the word, and I believe it changed the nation. And on Tuesday, Joel's going to be here, and he's going to be here all week, and we'll try to bring him here next Sunday and so on. But it was so powerful. It was unbelievable. I believe we changed that nation. I mean, a nation. And we probably reached 25, 30 churches and probably 200-300 pastors. But still, I believe it went far and wide. I don't believe that nation will ever be the same. I believe God told me exactly what to say. I said it. And then he confirmed in miraculous ways. Well, then he said this. You know, also strengthen your stakes. In other words, if a big storm or wind comes up, you won't be blown away if you drive your stakes in deeper. So now you got a bigger tent, harder to hang on to, and there's going to be storms coming against it, winds blowing up under it, and you got to have deeper stakes for longer cords and bigger curtains and enlarging your tent. Then he said, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Now, the right hand is over here. That's salvation. That's spiritual. The left hand is over here. That's economic and political and social, this world, the kingdoms of this world. In other words, you're going to have favor spiritually, and you're going to have favor in the civil realm too. And I wondered, even at the time, I thought, like what? Like the idea of being free from the state and all that so that they don't have any power. And you mean like running again for office or something? You know, I didn't know. So I just said, okay, if that's true, I'll run, and then you're saying I'm just going to win. And so when you hear something from God, not in your head, but you hear it in your heart, and you just know that you know that you know, you don't have to drum up faith. It's just like, okay, well, praise God. I believe it. And then he said, you know, people are going to come on time, other people are going to come back, all those kind of things, all kinds of details that made it so concrete that I said, wow, this is going to be an incredible year, even though everyone, I mean, I know churches that are folding, you know, they're just falling apart, and we're going to expand during that. Now, that's cool. That would be cool. That would be humorous. I'd probably want to brag, but, you know, go ahead and bless me anyway. But I would want to say, hey, did you see that? Looky here. But he's saying, no, Jim, don't waste time doing that. Just get your tent out. Just keep getting those stakes driven in deeper. Just do what I say. There's no time for that. So I believe everything that's happening this year is so big, so immense, so great, politically, economically, spiritually, and socially, that we're about to break out in an incredible way. And I didn't know what he meant. I hope he didn't mean December 31st, but, you know, whatever. He just said, do it. So I told him, well, we're not even ready for that. I don't even know how you do that. He said, you don't have to do anything different. I'm doing it. I'm not talking about you. Oh, cool. I thought you said enlarge your thing. Yeah, well, I'll do it. I just want you to believe that. When I tell you something to do, that means that's something I'm doing. Well, cool. Okay, well, go ahead. Be my guest. So that's cool when God works for you, Madeline. When God says, I'll do it. I'll bring you the job. I'll bring you the husband. I'll bring you the whatever it is that you need or that you want or that he's told you to do. So how many know that we have all the power, all the authority, and all the blessing? There's nothing missing. Everything is in your hand right now. You have everything you need to do whatever you need to do. And if it isn't, he'll put it in your hand tomorrow. So whenever you need it, you're going to have it. Now, if you've prayed for something, pray. Because it's about to happen. And when it happens, you'll give praise not to God because he did it. You'll give God because he didn't lie. because God encouraged you one day to believe, and that got you in big trouble. Anybody here who believes God got in trouble. I guarantee it. If you believe God, you got in trouble because you thought afterward, well, that's not kind of what I was thinking. You know, I mean, that's good. But fear not, for you shall not be. I left this part off. You'll break out in the left and the right. And your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. In other words, your children, your all those children you didn't have, you're suddenly now going to inherit the nations, the Gentiles, and make desolate cities to be inhabited. In other words, things that have been destroyed before will now be built up again. It's like, wow, that's awesome. Can that be true? Fear not, verse 4, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded or confused, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth. How many of you have things in your youth, in other words, you did years ago, that you're ashamed of? They don't fit a good Christian. They don't fit where you are, but they're there, and you haven't dealt with them, but they're back there. He's saying, don't worry about it. I've covered all that. I've paid for all that. Don't be ashamed of anything you did in the past. Let it go. Don't ever look at it again. It's mine. I'm taking care of it. Please do not look back at what you were. I want you to know who I am, and you're with me. So no more will you be a reproach anymore, for thy maker is thy husband. So you have God watching out for you. The Lord of hosts, that means he's got power, is his name. And thy redeemer, so you got a maker and a redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. It's the same one that made the earth, is the same one that is now redeeming you and forgiving you for not doing what he told you to do. The God of the whole earth he shall be called. So I believe that God, who is the God of the whole earth, is giving us the whole earth. Okay, I'm going to say something ridiculous, but it's what I believe. I believe that the world looks at America, and America looks at Texas, and Texas looks at North Texas. That's what I believe. Now, I believe that politically, economically, socially, and spiritually. So I believe what happens here has a greater impact on Taiwan, has a greater impact on India, on wherever, than any other place in the world. I don't even care about the news of what's happening somewhere else, because I know what we're doing here is the source and the key. This is Capernaum. This is Jesus' headquarters. And all the business and all of the society stuff and whatever it is, it's here that the influence goes out. If you get your religion right, you get everything else right. And I believe that God is raising up businessmen who will serve the kingdom of God. I believe God is raising up social figures. That's politics and sports and media and all that kind of stuff. I believe that God is going to raise up giants in all those realms that the devil has had all these years. I believe there'll be an overthrow of socialism and all the illegals and all those problems that are big problems. Those are all to tell you, you cannot solve any one of these problems. But if you just turn to me, do what I say, ignore all those problems, I will give you everything back with interest, with increase. Way beyond. That's why he said, enlarge your tent. Get bigger. You know, stop saying the Muslims and stop saying the illegals and stop saying, you know, the socialists and communists and stuff. Stop saying that. That's not your problem. Your problem is just get with God and let him do everything. Stop helping the guy out. Just watch God. It just says, if you'll just pay attention to me, I will do it all. I want to do it. I just wanted to have somebody that wouldn't help me, that I could do it all, so I can get all the glory and then give it to you. That's all. I'll get all the glory, and I'll just hand it to you. So I believe that's actually what's happening in this world. And I believe I'm a prophet. I believe that what I'm saying will come to pass. But now what I'm saying is, I'm not just saying it. I'm just saying God's going to actually do something. And I don't know what it is. I have no idea. But I'm prepared. I've already enlarged my mind, my tent. I've already, in my mind, I'm already ready for whatever it is. And I'm not surprised that things are happening. I believe it's going to even be greater. Now, a lot of you are passive. You know, you're not doing anything. Good. Don't. Don't do a thing. Just believe that what God said is the case. Don't help him. Don't try to get yourself ready for it. Just... You know this scripture that says labor to enter his rest? You know what that means? It doesn't mean what you think it means, because you don't know what you think it means, because it sounds stupid. How can you labor to enter into rest? Simple. When you labor, you find out that your labor is in vain. When you work real hard to accomplish something in your own strength, your own wisdom, your own power, that's when you find out you don't have any. And that's when God says, are you through? Well, you told me to labor, and I did. Well, what'd you learn? That it doesn't work. My labor doesn't amount to a hill of beans. In other words, when you get everything you want to get, you find out it's not so neat. When you labor real hard and think, well, you know, I'm going to get this, I'm going to accomplish this, then you get it and you realize, I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, and it's not the joy that I thought it was going to be. And the more you get, the more you want, and the more you want, the more you get corrupted, and the more you get, and so on. It just doesn't work out. So he wants you to be frustrated. What he really should have said is, labor real hard, then get frustrated, get angry, get bitter, and then when you're all done, then you'll enter into my rest. Because you can't do what I can do. And I'm just going to give it to you. Now, is there anyone here that believes that? That what God is saying is, work real hard so that that's the only way you learn. You don't learn if you just sit there and do nothing. You learn by doing everything you can possibly do, and then you learn that everything you can possibly do is nothing. That's how you learn that. And you want, what is all this? What have I done? But God has just given it to you, and if you think that's the end of it, that's just the beginning. He's going to give you even more and more and more. So instead of us going out of business, all of a sudden America's going to go down the drain and the illegals are going to take us over and be part of Mexico and all the things that people fear and think about is ridiculous. This is our finest hour. Jesus is about to come back and take a bride without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and we don't look like that today. That's because you're still trying to look like that. Instead of just let him give that to you. This is the only work you can ever do. Only believe. Just believe that what I've already done is all that needs to be done. The next verse. 6. For the Lord has called you a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, a wife of youth. So you're God's wife of youth. When you were refused, saith God, for a brief moment I have forsaken you. But with everlasting mercies, I will gather you. So I believe a brief moment is like 30 years. I believe a brief moment. No, seriously. I believe that a brief moment is, well, you know, I just wasted, you know, all those years. Good. That's good. That's just a brief moment. But then, with everlasting love, I will, with compassion, draw you back. And I will have, in a little, here's what he says, verse 8. In a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, saith the Lord your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with you nor rebuke you. What is he saying? He's saying that the oceans come up to the shore and stop by his will. And he's saying that the water of the earth, forget global warming, the water of the earth will never cover the earth. Never. He promised that. But scientists don't know that. They're still thinking, you know, all these horrible things could happen. None of them are going to happen. It's the opposite. When God says, I'm going to do something, he's going to do it. Now, if you just take this as history, then that won't excite you. But if you take this as the truth of the Word of God, and if you believe that I heard God, you don't have to. I don't want anyone to believe that I heard God. But I believe him. I totally believe that I heard God. So I've prepared my life that way. Everything I'm doing is that way. I've already shifted my mind, my will, my emotions, everything. I believe God said what he said. And I'm not scared. I'm not nervous. I'm not thinking. I'm not doing anything. I'm just rejoicing. I believe something big this year is happening and is going to happen, and there's going to even be more. It's going to be so abundant, it'll be beyond measure. Now, listen to this, verse 10. For the mountains shall be departed, and the hills shall be removed. Do you know what mountains are? They're kingdoms. They're always the highest power. And hills are like, you know, mayors instead of, you know, presidents or something. So they're all powers, though, whether they're financial or political or social or whatever, or even spiritual. Those those obstacles in your way that prevent you from going forward, mountains and hills, they'll be gone. And you say, well, that's impossible. You remember he said to Moses, you see the Pharaoh? 600 picked chariots. He's got you cornered. There's no way out. The river's behind you. You know, the Pharaoh's in front of you and the desert's to, you know, there's no hope. You are finished. And God said, no, no, no. I'll just remove that. And so God eliminated everything, and all we had to do is just follow God. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, everything opened up. Now, is that a story? Yes, but it actually is a pattern for us today, and God's saying, that's what I'm going to do. And I believe it. I believe that people that are, you know, Obama and whoever else is against us or, you know, whatever. I just believe all those obstacles are nothing. What you have to do is realize if God be for you, no one can be against you. No one. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors, lay your foundation with sapphires. In other words, you are about to see something so amazing that no one has ever seen it. And I will make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles, all thy borders, in other words, their walls, of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Wow! That's powerful! All your children! All your children! How many you got?
3 plus 9.
Yeah. So all your children, grandchildren, whatever, all of them will be taught of the Lord. You say, well, how's that possible? Well, don't ask that. God knows. It just made a promise there. Stand on it. Rely on it and force God to do what he just said. Don't be rebellious and doubting. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. I'm almost done. Great shall be the peace of thy children. So they'll have shalom. You know what shalom means? It means rightly lined up with God. Shalom doesn't just mean like, you know, I feel peaceful. What it means is everything is in order with respect to God. He's totally happy. In righteousness you shall be established, and you shall be far from oppression. So oppression, goodbye. For thou shalt not fear from terror, for it shall not come near you. So everywhere, terrorists, there it is right there. You shall not fear for terror. I can just tell you, I've never been afraid of the terrorists anyway. But I'm not afraid of the terrorists. I'm not afraid of them. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have guns and all that. No, you can have everything you want. But let the government do what it wants to do. I'm just telling you, I'm not afraid. You know, I don't want to have all those lines and they check your toothpaste and all that. I think that's stupid stuff. But it's okay. I mean, I'm not going to go bananas over it. I'm just simply saying I'm not personally afraid that some guy, until I see somebody on the plane that looks Muslim, then I go, what's that guy doing on here? I bet he's got a bomb. But other than that, I'm not afraid. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, whoever comes against you, it won't be by me. Whoever shall gather together against you shall fall.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah.
People that are against you, people that are, you know, thinking things or doing things, they're not going to succeed. That's tremendous.
Yes, it is.
I don't even need the rest of the Bible. This
Hallelujah.
Is good. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. In other words, all those people that do all that stuff and create gods and do all the stuff they do, don't worry about them. They can't hurt you. Listen to this. This is the last verse. No weapon that is fashioned or formed against you will prevail.
Hallelujah.
None. I don't care what the banks, what their agenda is, or what the, you know, government's owning everything. I don't care about all that. I know what God has said. Jim, stop it. Don't be correcting all those things. Just attend to the things I put before you. And don't try to reach up to stuff that's too big for you. Just do what I tell you. Love your wife, you know, love me, you know, teach to the people and so on and so forth. Just tell them what I say and what I do. I'll take care of everything else. Wow, that's cool. Because I don't have time to think about all those things. It's too much. It's too much. No weapon that is fashioned against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you, rise up against you. In other words, it's going to accuse you. You shall condemn. Not God. He didn't say, I'll condemn it. He just said, I'll put in you to condemn them. And you just say, you know, you're condemned. It won't happen. You're not going to do it. So I'm going to give you favor on every side. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you increase. I'm going to bless you beyond measure. Are you ready? Do you believe that?
Yes.
This is too powerful. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness comes from Pastor Jim. No. Their righteousness comes from their hard work. No. Their righteousness is of me. I'm giving you your righteousness. You don't have any. You don't need any. I'm giving it to you, and I already did, and it's done. That's powerful. That's powerful.